Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressor.
Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Adele Spraggan. Now, she is going to be talking all about brain patterning and how to rewire your brain. Now, you might be thinking, Doc, we've done a lot of these types of podcasts. Yes, but Adele is different because she's talking about why diving deep into your childhood for answers to your brain patterns isn't always useful. So she's got a different twist on this. She's really talking about how to shift your brain. And in fact, she's got a book, Shift: 4 Steps to Personal Empowerment. We're going to be talking all about that book. But what's curious about this podcast is that she really talks about the steps you can take to change how you think, but also change who you are. Because a lot of us will go through patterns where we'll try to change how we eat, we'll try to change how we work out and our lifestyle and habits and things, and then we might do well for a while, but then we relapse. Why is that? Because we haven't really changed who we are. We really have to get to a point where we change our brain rewiring by changing who we are. So, very interesting podcast. Let's get you introduced to Adele.
Okay, health junkies, welcome to another episode of the Health Fix. On this episode, as I mentioned, I'm interviewing Adele Spraggan, and we are talking about her book, Shift: 4 Steps to Personal Empowerment. And we're going to be talking all about brain patterns and how our brain patterns can help us to be nice, happy, and healthy, but they can also help us to get into these negative looping patterns that we don't necessarily like. So, Adele, welcome to the Health Fix podcast.
Thanks, Janine. Happy to be here.
So we've got a lot to talk about. And as we mentioned before we got started today, I was talking about how this group that listens to the podcast is all about trying to improve their health, but also looking for ways to improve their mental health. And sometimes we find ourselves in these patterns where we just keep repeating the same thing over and over again, and it can keep us pretty down. And I'm sure you found that to be one of the main core things that folks do over and over again.
Yep, absolutely. Patterns will repeat the same behaviors, whether we want them to or not. Frankly, it doesn't really matter what our desire is. If we have a brain pattern in our brain that is not working, it just wants to keep taking that familiar action over and over again. Because, Janine, I'm going to say something surprising. To the pattern, that familiarity is safe. So the pattern doesn't really matter whether it works or not. It's the safety that it's looking for. And the safety is taking the action that it took yesterday.
This is kind of that survival technique that our body is just kind of ingrained in us and or imprinted in us, for that matter, from birth.
So, you know, the interesting thing about the human brain is we're not born with patterning. We pretty much have to create our patterns from birth. And, you know, how I like to explain it to people is the easiest way to think about your brain is think of it as an iceberg. So at the top of the water are all of those actions that people take and behaviors and beliefs. So we're going to put everything that you do, everything that you feel, everything that you think at the top of the iceberg. Under the water is where the brain patterns lie. So as I like to say, under every action you take, there is a brain pattern that is taking that action. And if we can remember that, then it's like, oh, okay, is that pattern working for me? Is it driving an action that I want it to take? And if the answer is no, then the opportunity is to remove the pattern, not to try and change the action. Is that making sense? I can give you an example of that if that doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense, but I always like examples because, you know, a lot of times in my practice as a naturopathic doctor, what I'll find is we'll try to have someone eat healthy and we'll try to help them to lose weight. But a lot of times we just don't get there. And, you know, it's like the practitioner feels like they, you know, like myself, I feel like I've failed the patient. The patient feels like, you know, they've messed up somehow or they're a failure somehow because they can't seem to get those patterns that they need to create to you know, eat healthy foods or to reduce food intake or things of that nature. So it makes perfect sense. But I would love to hear your example.
Yeah, I mean, that's a brilliant example because most people know what is required to eat healthy, right? And then they get to 5-6 o'clock at night for most people. And it's like, oh, you know, forget all that I know. It's going out the window. I'm going to eat whatever the pattern tells me to eat. And we end up beating ourselves up. I mean, I got a brilliant example in the book of this. I worked with this one participant. And the first time I talked to her, she said, Adele, I'm addicted to sugar. She said, but if you tell me that you have a magic wand and you say I could get rid of that addiction to sugar, she says, I'm going to tell you not to use that wand because I don't know what I do without sugar. And I said, well, that's okay. I said, I'm not going to tap. I said, I'll tell you what, instead, let's look at the pattern and remove the pattern that is driven to eat sugar. So, you know, her history was one in which she had sugar everywhere. She had candy hidden in all the drawers in her house, in her office. If she was going to eat breakfast, it was going to be a donut. It was going to be something sugary. She never went a day without sugar. Dessert was her primary focus. So, you know, all I did, and one of the things that she used to do, Janine, which was absolutely fascinating, is she, every time she went to the grocery store, she compulsively went down the candy aisle. She couldn't prevent herself from going down the candy aisle. And so, like I said, I just said to her, I am not going to take away that addiction to sugar. I'm not going to tell you not to eat sugar. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a 4-step technique that will remove the pattern that is eating sugar. And so I gave her this 4 steps, which are in my book and which we can talk about. And every week I would say to her, so, you know, how's it going? And every week she would say, oh, no change, no change. I'm still eating sugar. I'm still eating sugar. But she was still applying the technique as I had given it to her. And about the 6-week mark, I asked her one day, so how's it going? And she paused for a moment and she says, oh my gosh. She said, Adele, I've got a piece of pie in the fridge at work. And she said, and I didn't eat it. And then with this surprise and delight in her voice, she went, oh my goodness, the other day I went to the grocery store and I didn't go down the candy aisle. So I want you to listen to the difference between working with patterns and working at the level of action, right? First of all, she didn't even realize, she didn't even remember that she hadn't gone down the candy aisle. When we remove patterns, it's like we step out of one identity in which we're taking a particular action into another identity in which that action just doesn't show up. And that is honestly the way our brain is designed and can function to solve all of our problems. They should just be, okay, I was doing that, and now I've removed the pattern, and therefore I'm just not doing that. No willpower, no control needed. All right. So, you know, that's a really great example of the difference between working with dieting and working with patterns to bring about a result in your health.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that you have to kind of wrap your head around, because a lot of people are going to be thinking, well, no, it's just, I just need to stop eating this. But we all know how hard it is. Like you said, with the sugar, that one's, you know, one of the trickiest ones. So I'm sure everyone at this point is like, okay, Adele, tell us what the first step is in these pattern shifts, because that sounds so crazy. How did you get her to stop going down the candy aisle?
Yeah. Yeah. So, so how we identify those patterns, how we start to identify them, is patterns show up as an intertwining of a physical sensation, an emotion, and a thought. So when we have a brain pattern, how we are going to identify it is by saying, okay, when I'm tempted to go down the candy aisle, when I think about going down the candy aisle, how do I feel emotionally? Where do I feel that in my body? And what is the one thought? So let's take this client in mind. So, you know, when I asked her that, she said, well, what I feel is this helplessness. Like I don't know how not to. So that was the thought. So the feeling was helpless. That was arising inside her body. She was feeling weak. And the thought was, I just don't know how to stop myself from going down the candy aisle. Great. What she had just done there was identify the pattern that was actually causing her to go down the candy aisle, that feeling of helplessness. So it is that which we removed. So that was step one. So the second step then was for her to own it as a pattern and not as if it was actually her being helpless. So Janine, the thing about today's world, how we see ourselves or how we're educated to see ourselves, is to see ourselves as if we are an identity in, that needs fixing. Okay. So most people will say, oh my gosh, I got a problem. I have to fix that. And I like to say, no, you don't. You have a pattern that is causing that action, causing you to believe that belief. Okay. You're not responsible for the action, behavior, belief. That belongs to the pattern. What you're responsible for, as in able to respond to, is the pattern itself. So when we own it as a pattern, we flip that switch. We don't have to fix going down the candy aisle. What we have to do is subtract the pattern that wants to go down the candy aisle. So we just flip it. I created that experience. I created that emotion, right? I created that desire to go down the candy aisle as a pattern, not as something that needs to be done, okay? So once we say we created that pattern, now we're much more in a position of control. And then step three, we need to deconstruct or pull apart that pattern. And the instructions for how to do that are in my book. So it's a matter of teasing that brain pattern apart. It's just a neural pathway in the brain. And then only then can we start the process of creating a brand new pattern, which leads us to a different action.
Wow. So I think a lot of people might be thinking right now, like, okay, all right, I can see how this works. But what if someone goes to you, and I'm sure someone said this before, I can't identify that emotion. How do I figure that out?
Yeah, that's very common. We're not encouraged in today's world to actually be connected to our bodies. We're encouraged to control them. And probably many of your clients are faced with this. So there's a slight distrust that all of us, or most people in the world today, have when it comes to our body. We don't really trust that we can, we don't trust its messages very much. Let's face facts, right? So especially people who are struggling with food issues, it's like, oh my gosh, if I let my body eat whatever it wants, I'm just going to eat everything, right? Well, the reason for that is because there's a disconnect between mind and body. And it also shows up in the inability to experience our emotions. So first things first, I promise every person on this line that your body is still feeling emotions. It is the mind that is unaware of those emotions or slightly cut off from those emotions. So it's a matter of training the mind again to connect back to the body, to be in communication with it, and to just lean in and listen. I have what are called pattern identification cards, which people use who have that issue, if they can't identify an emotion. And there are these wonderful little cards that you just flip through, and it lists all the emotions. And as the person is trying to identify their emotion, they will have a flavor of it. They'll say, okay, I'm feeling something along the feeling of anger, but I'm not sure what that is. And so they go down the card and they go, oh, I'm frustrated. That's what it is. And as we rebuild that communication back to the brain, back to the mind, and then they start to relax. And then they're very capable of understanding what they're feeling. After a while, it takes a little bit of while. A couple of weeks is all.
Huh. That's interesting. You know, because I look at it in terms of a lot of patients of mine. I look at it in terms of myself as well and why I do, you know, the things I do. And, you know, it does seem that it has taken me a few weeks sometimes on average to be like, why do I do that? What is it? What is that emotion? And that's interesting. So folks can buy these cards on your website.
Yeah. I have a little store on there and they can buy those cards and they're absolutely brilliant. Like I said, they're so handy. But you know, the other thing that you just mentioned there, Janine, which is fascinating, in a world of where we have to understand why we do something in order to correct it, we're always asking the question, why, right? And our brain goes through this analysis process that may provide us with a couple of insights here or there, but it doesn't really help us to change the behavior. Does that make sense? I'm going to pause there while you, yeah? Okay, good. Okay. So instead of that, here's what I always tell everybody. If you start asking yourself, why am I doing this? The answer is this, because I have a pattern in my brain that's doing it, period. Stop running down the rabbit hole of trying to understand, okay? Now, as soon as you do that, you'll see that the question is not, why am I doing this? But what am I doing and is it working? Do you feel the difference? So notice the anxiety that arises inside of needing to understand why you're doing something rather than just identifying, I am doing that. Can you feel that difference?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. So once you do that, it's like, oh, okay. It's not, is what I'm doing correct? Is what I'm doing working for me? And in the case of the woman who was addicted to sugar, the answer was no. Like, it wasn't working for her. And so letting her off the hook of trying to understand why she was addicted to sugar or how to fix that, I simply said, okay, great. Like, that's what you're doing. You're going down the candy aisle. What if you could just stop going down the candy aisle? And she went, oh my goodness, that would be amazing. And I said, well, that's the difference. We're going to use a method of subtraction. Right? Let's remove the pattern rather than a method of addition, needing to understand more, needing to correct, needing to fix. I like to say there's nothing to fix. There's just patterns in your way.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, I like that because I think a lot of us do go into everything thinking, you know, like you had already mentioned that there's something wrong with us. We have to fix ourselves. We have to fix all these different things. But what if it's just some adjustments, like adjusting the pattern?
Exactly. What if instead of that, we just gently remove the pattern, boom, you just no longer take that action. Then you wouldn't be asking the question, why after that? There's nothing to ask them about.
Well, and that's an interesting point that you bring, because I think a lot of other folks right now that are in the behavioral space are really into exploring why and getting to the root of, you know, is it a childhood, you know, ACE, meaning adverse childhood event triggering this? Is it this? But it's kind of like, who cares? Let's just fix, not fit, you know, I mean, here we are to fix word again, but let's just correct the pattern.
Yeah. So one of the things that I faced, Janine, is before I understood brain patterning and my brain, the way I understand it today, is I was in a lot of personal development programs, tons of them. Okay. If there was one out there, I was trying to fix myself using it. And one of the things that people always used to say to me, coaches, therapists, didn't matter, was, well, what's the originating incident, Adele? What happened in your childhood? Well, Janine, I'm somebody who just doesn't have that many memories of my childhood. I just don't remember that much. And so now I had two problems. I had the problem I was facing, and I had the problem of not being able to identify what had caused it, right? So now my brain was scrambling around with both of these issues. So when I came to know and understand my brain from the perspective of patterns, it was such a relief for me. It was like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to understand what happened. Now, if somebody on this line does understand or does have a memory which continues to impact them, that too is a pattern that can be removed or repatterned. Okay. So it's not that I'm saying you shouldn't look at your past. I'm just saying that for those people who don't remember that originating incident, that's okay. The pattern is arising here now. All you have to do is know what's happening now and deal with that.
That's refreshing because I'm also one of those people that doesn't remember much of my childhood and why I do the things I do. So no, this is great. This is great. It's a little bit of a relief for folks like us. It's like, okay, all right.
Whew. Yeah.
Let's go down that rabbit hole.
Yes, exactly. And it is a rabbit hole, right? I mean, I watch people scramble down that rabbit hole trying to understand why. And why the answer to why provides you great insights, but it never really at the heart changes the issue, right? Insights are cheap, I like to say.
This is true. So some folks might be thinking, okay, we need to change our patterns. What kind of tips can you give folks, Adele, in terms of looking at, okay, I've identified a pattern that doesn't serve me. Now I need to change it. And I need to start to get that new rewiring going. What are some tips that you can give to folks? And I know that you have some in your book, and we want folks to be checking out the book, guys. That's definitely the point. Shift, 4 Steps to Personal Empowerment. We want you to look at that and get that from here. But could you give us a couple of hints as to, you know, what kind of things might we be thinking about when we start to move to the next step where we're looking at, okay, we've identified what doesn't serve us. Now, what kind of things can we do to change that pattern?
Yeah, awesome. Okay. So the first thing to know is I like to give what I call new operating instructions. Okay. So old operating instructions are this. You know, everybody who listens to you, Ginny, knows that there is a healthy way of eating. I am assuming, correct? Like, probably that's your advice that you give all the time. So they already know what they should do. Okay. That's a given. The next question, though, is not how to get there. The next question is, why am I not there right now? So I'm going to just pause while everybody just thinks about that for a moment. So take the goal that Janina has given you. Here's what healthy eating looks like. Here's what you're supposed to do, right? Now, the next question is, why am I not there right now? You'll notice that what happens is your mind starts to spit up a whole bunch of actions that you may be taking or not taking, a whole bunch of behaviors like I emotionally eat or I come home from work and my head's straight in the fridge, right? A whole bunch of beliefs. I can't. I'm menopausal, you know, like there's probably a whole bunch of beliefs of why that just start to pop up. Okay, that's awesome. Under each one of those, there runs a pattern. So that's really important to know, is under every single action, behavior, belief that you hold, there runs a brain pattern in your mind that takes that action. So that's the first thing to do, is to identify what it is that is driving you away from your goal that you're trying to get to. Now, the next thing is not to strive. It is to remove those patterns, as I said. And, you know, one of the things to know is that your brain is constantly trying to create new patterns. When we are born, as I mentioned earlier, you're not born with brain patterns. You had to create them. So in every situation that you entered into, every brand new situation, your brain very quickly pieced together a pattern so that you could take an action. And the brain then continues to hold on to that pattern, as I said before, because that feels safe. That action feels safe. Okay. So that's all that's happening. But really, ideally, it's always trying to upgrade itself. It has what is called plasticity, and it's constantly trying to rewire itself. But how it needs to do that is by creating a void where that pattern used to be. As long as there's an existing pattern, the brain won't bother to create a new one. So, you know, you're asked for a tip, Janine. The tip is don't try to create a new pattern. Remove the one that is not working. Your brain will do what your brain does. Your brain will automatically go to create a new pattern. Now, as long as you have that goal in the subconscious, I know what healthy eating is, and you remove the pattern that is not eating healthy, guess what? Your brain is going to move you in the direction of health. Every aspect of your being really wants you to thrive and to be healthy. There is not a single thing in you that wants to sabotage you. That, for some of you, may come as a surprise. I can guarantee that is true. Every aspect of your being wants your health and your fulfillment. We just have to get out of its way and let the subconscious drive the bus to your health and your fulfillment.
I like that. I think a lot of it, you know, and this is maybe something that you can help me with and help the folks listening with is, you know, does it seem that with the subconscious, we really have to just be willing to slow down and let it speak to us? Because I find that a lot of people are like, nah, I have no idea. I can't get that to speak to me. I don't, you know, I have no idea why this, you know, what's happening with this pattern. Do you find that that's true? We have to just be able to trust the process and slow down.
As long as we have a brain pattern that doesn't trust, we can't trust. So I never say, here's what you should do. I mean, you know, what you do is what you do, and what you do is given by your brain patterns. So again, I invite everybody to be really, really gentle with themselves. Oh, I have a pattern that's not trusting my subconscious. Okay, that's a pattern. That's not mean I should do that, or I need to slow down in order to listen. All we're going to do is remove the pattern that's not listening, that's not slowing down. Okay, so it's a little bit of a different method. But you know, when we are running optimal patterns, when our patterns are being created in the moment for now, you will have connection to the subconscious. You will be able to trust yourself. You'll trust your body. Okay. I repatterned a pattern for drinking. I was well, I'll just say it. I was probably an alcoholic. If somebody looked at how much I drank, I would drink every day. I would drink at least a bottle a day. They would say, yeah, Adele, you're an alcoholic. I just simply removed the pattern that wanted red wine. I now trust myself. You could put a bottle of red wine in front of me and I wouldn't be tempted in the slightest to drink it. It's not like I'm controlling or trying not to drink. That's because, as I said, once you're running optimal patterns, that connection to self, that body's desire to thrive and to be healthy, it's just natural. It's just built right into you.
Wow. Wow. No, that's really cool. I think a lot of people, even myself, you know, I definitely have some patterns. I'm like, oh, if I could just sit there and not be tempted by something, that would be incredible. I think red wine or bottles of wine, for that matter, for a lot of people that are listening right now, might be, you know, one of their things, right? Something that they're looking to try to change a pattern on.
Mm-hmm. And much of eating and drinking and things like that, you're made to feel ashamed, right? So most people, there's an element of shame you'll notice when you think about, well, I should be doing this and I'm not, or I shouldn't be doing this and I am. That experience of shame that we are made to feel when we are eating and drinking in this environment, that also can be repatterned so that you can have this gentle relationship with yourself where if something is not working for you, you don't have to change it by feeling ashamed. That's how we're forced to try and change something. You can just change it because it is right for you to not do that. Okay, Janine, tell me if I'm making sense.
Oh, gosh. No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense because, you know, I think part of why there are so many issues with overeating, so many issues with drinking, I think it does become such an issue with shame and embarrassment and things of that nature that gets all kind of intertwined in that pattern. And now we have this double-edged sword of, you know, that type of emotion that goes with the emotion that triggers us. And it's almost like a downward spiral or a looping spiral that keeps that pattern going for folks.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It keeps the pattern going. And it's this interesting dilemma, right? Because people will say to me, well, I'll sometimes say, okay, position me in the room. What would I see you doing? And they'll say to me, well, are you a fly on the wall or are you actually in the room? Because it'll be different if you're actually there. So the control now is external to the person. Right. So if they are going to get caught doing something or seen doing something, they won't do it. But by themselves, they will do it. And that's because they're using the external to control. And that's because we're conditioned to feel ashamed of what we do. Once we remove that pattern, we just wouldn't do that because it just doesn't work for us, not because it's the wrong thing to do.
Wow. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. So once someone starts to repattern themselves, is there a chance that old pattern could come back? Just because I believe that, you know, things can kind of stay there. Like what's that statement? If we keep using a pattern, we'll keep that pattern going. But if we stop using it, it's still there, right? It never really goes away. Do you find that sometimes we have to do some maintenance to keep from relapsing down a certain pattern or pathway?
No. And let me explain why. If you think about your brain, I'd like you to think of every pattern as being a neural pathway in your brain. Okay. That neural pathway is connected. Now imagine if we could just gently go into your brain and just pull apart that pattern and it now snaps into new channels. Can you see how that pattern that used to be in the brain that no longer is and that used to take an action, once you tease it apart and create a new channel, how it would never come back? Okay. I have not had a drink in, oh my gosh, it's over 2 years now. Never been tempted to have a drink. I am now a non-drinker. It's not like I'm an ex-drinker. I am somebody who used to drink. Now I'm somebody who just doesn't drink. See the difference? My client who was addicted to sugar, she was somebody who was addicted to sugar and then just wasn't. It's not like you're hanging on trying not to do something anymore. So, I love what you said. there is this idea out there in the world that if we can just keep doing something different, if we can substitute a new action enough times, we will change the way the brain thinks and we won't take that action anymore. But that old pattern still lives in the brain. That's the problem. It's still there, available, right? So that's why we need to start with the pattern rather than starting with the action. We have this idea that if we can just take a different action over and over and over and over and over and over and over, then we won't be tempted anymore. But it's not true. As soon as we drop that new action, the old action is there. That old pattern is just there waiting. And boom, it's back again, right?
Huh. So it makes sense. It makes sense. And I mean, it kind of gives you the theory as to why people can lose weight and then gain it all back.
That's exactly what happens. Absolutely. In fact, you're guaranteed almost to gain it all back. I mean, what's the success rate, Janine, on dieting? I heard somewhere around 4%.
Yeah, something really low.
Yeah. And that's why, because those patterns are still there.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, ultimately, what you're doing with the brain repatterning with your work is you're changing who you are.
Yes.
At the core.
You got it. You step out of one identity into another. You're actually changing at the level of identity.
Very cool. Very cool. So see, folks, you can change who you are. You can be a completely different person, whoever you want to be at this point. So, oh my goodness, Adele, this is awesome stuff. I think folks are going to be really inspired listening to our interview here. And I think they definitely are going to be like, okay, how can I get involved in working with Adele? And I saw that you had some membership programs too, in addition to your book. So give folks a little bit of a breakdown on what we have at AdeleSpraggan.com.
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, yes, let's start with the membership site. So there's lots of training in there. There's a value first equity plan. So everything that we do at AdeleSpraggan.com is under the equitable payment plan. All right. So if people must pay within their means, that's absolutely key for how we work. So there's a membership site in there. There's value first. You go in there for 30 days, try out the training. If it works for you, great. You're going to pay within your means, whatever that is for you. And if it doesn't, if you get to the end of the 30 days and you just want to cancel, that's an option as well. All right. So that's the first thing. In that training, I will teach you how to change your brain patterns, and you can also repattern a whole bunch of stuff, relationships, money patterns, peace of mind, emotional trigger patterns, all of that stuff will be found in there. Okay. Second thing you can do is get a copy of my book for free. All I ask is that everybody pays for shipping. That's under the book in AdeleSpraggan.com/book, and we'll ship you out a copy for free. Other things you can do is there is a bit of free training in there, which will help you to understand better about your brain. You're welcome to watch those few videos as well. But I highly recommend that if you're interested in repatterning, grab either the book or jump into the membership site and give it a try. Oh, and there's also live coached programs too for those people who needed a little bit of extra support. You can join an 8-week live coached program.
Oh, I love this. I love this. I love that you have so much to give to folks, and it's affordable too. This is something that, you know, folks who are listening to this, this is great stuff and attainable for everyone. So Adele, thank you so much for giving us so much value for this podcast and for all of the good stuff on the website. Folks, you got to go over to Adele Spraggan, AdeleSpraggan.com. And don't worry, I will put all of this information into the podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. And so you can also get a handle on her book as well, Shift 4 Steps to Personal Empowerment. So Adele, thank you so much once again. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us all kinds of great info.
Oh, thank you, Janine. That was fun.
Hey, Health Junkies, just in case you didn't catch it in my mid-podcast announcement, I wanted to let you know I have a new masterclass. It is called the Fit Physique Blueprint. It is tied in with a new program that I'm offering, but the masterclass tells you all about the real reason that you are not getting results in the gym. So if you're struggling with some extra body weight and you're cutting calories, you're doing more cardio, doing the HIIT workouts, you're taking fat burner pills, and you're not seeing results, this is definitely for you. Now, hey, I was there once and it was not a lovely place to be. So I knew I had to do something. And then I learned from listeners that I wasn't the only one. So we've got a solution for you. So head over to bodycompositionmastery.com, sign up for my masterclass, and then you can book a call with me and let's see how I can help you.